This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
We always begin with the Holy Father and his Wednesday general audience. And this morning's edition was outside once again in St. Peter's Square. Looked like a really nice crowd there for the Holy Father.
Yes, indeed. And in fact, that's despite a big downpour yesterday and one predicted for this afternoon, but there managed to be a little pocket with great weather. And so indeed, the audience went off without a glitch today in St. Peter's Square. And the Holy Father reminisced about his recent trip to Hungary. He was talking about his time in Budapest. Budapest, a city known especially for its three iconic bridges. And so he spoke today about the importance of building bridges and the importance of knowing one's roots. So he began with asking the question, am I in my family, in my parish, in my community, in my country, am I a builder of bridges? Am I a builder of harmony and unity? He said that the vocation of Europe is to be a bridge of peace. And he honored the differences amongst different European countries in welcoming those who knock on the doors of Europe. He said that the Hungarian church in particular is a very beautiful church. And he talked about the importance of knowing one's roots, saying that saints are a great way to know your roots. And he spoke about great Hungarian saints. He called them saints who were lights in times of darkness, and saints who, although they're of the past, even today, they help us to overcome the fear of tomorrow and help us to keep our eyes on Christ, remembering that he is the future. And he also recalled the particular atheistic persecution in the 20th century that Hungary endured, where, as he said, Christians were struck down violently, where bishops and priests and religious and lay people were killed or were deprived of their freedom. And he noted that despite these attempts of atheists to knock down Christianity, the Pope said, nevertheless, the roots remained intact despite the attempt to cut down the tree of faith. And he said, still, a hidden church remained steadfast. And there were many clergy who were ordained in secret, and they bore witness to the gospel by working in factories and evangelizing in secret, as well as others who were brave enough to evangelize while in hiding. And so then today, the Pope finished by asking all to ask themselves whether we are building bridges in our daily lives. And he asked that all go to the Queen of Hungary, Our Lady, Queen of Peace, and entrusted Hungary and all who are enduring violence and war, especially to the Queen of Peace. He also gave a little happy birthday shout out to Edith Brooke, who is a Hungarian poet, writer, and Holocaust survivor. Today is also her 92nd birthday, John.
Wow. Yeah, the Holy Father very appropriately invoking the Blessed Mother Mary as the Queen of Hungary and the Queen of Peace here in this month of May, in which we honor our Blessed Mother.
Yes, in fact. And he talked about, too, repeated the importance of praying the rosary during this month and also looking to Mary herself as a bridge to stretch towards tomorrow, she says, because, you know, we don't want to continue to repeat the past, he said, but to model our Mother Mary, to rediscover Jesus in our lives.
Ashley, would you say that his trip to Hungary over the weekend, his second one in recent years, was a success?
Mm-hmm. Yes, in fact, he recalled very fondly the various moments of the trip today, and certainly was able to succeed in his goal to visit also refugees from Ukraine and to commend Hungary for outstretching their arms and welcoming so many hundreds and hundreds of thousands of refugees into their country, about 1.5 million to be exact. And so it seems that he was able to get across the message of peace and, again, of building those bridges that he was hoping to do.
Now, Ashley, this morning, I understand that the Swiss Guards, something that you can't miss them when you go to the Vatican, they're in the news this morning.
Yes, yes, because they are preparing for their swearing-in ceremony, which is coming up on the 6th of May. And this is the annual ceremony to swear in all new recruits of the Swiss Guards. Well, you can imagine it's quite a ceremony. It's there in the San Damaso courtyard of the Apostolic Palace. This year, 23 new guards will take that solemn oath of allegiance to protect the life of the Pope. Now, this ceremony goes back to the year 1527, and it was on the 6th of May that 147 Swiss Guards died protecting the life of the Holy Father. That was Pope Clement VII. And that was when they managed to help the Holy Father flee through that passetto, through that secret passageway that goes from the Apostolic Palace all the way to Castle San Angelo. It's about 800 meters long. Of course, these days, it's not very secret. You can even find it on Google Maps, but that's indeed the path that the Pope was ushered through to safety. So the current Swiss Guards actually belong to the world's oldest standing army, and it celebrated its 517th birthday on January 22nd of this year, because that is when the first guards arrived in Rome. And so just in case that you're thinking about becoming a guard one day, all you have to do is be male, be Swiss, of Swiss nationality. You have to be Catholic, unmarried, and aged between 19 and 30 in order to join. So after your first 2 years, at that point, you might choose to stay on and even become a lifer. We have a friend who recently retired as a captain after 30 years. And so after those first 2 years, it's at that point that you could marry, for example. There are various married guards. And in fact, we just got to see the youngest resident of the Swiss Guards barracks the other day, a little baby named Celine. So sure enough, there are even families there. And so this is a very exciting time. John and I were invited by a member of the Swiss Guards to be there at the Mass on Saturday morning to bring in all of the festivities. And it's really quite a wonderful celebration, John.
Well, I find it fascinating that their traditional uniform probably hasn't changed that much from 1527. And to this day, they still don't actually carry, guns.
Right, you're right, exactly. So they are very well known for that distinctive blue, gold, and red Renaissance style uniform. There's an historical rumor that goes around that it was designed by Michelangelo, although it wasn't. The historians think it was probably designed by the first commandant of the guards. And indeed, the current iteration of the uniform that we see dates back to about 1914. And yes, those halberds that they hold, which are no joke when they stand there for very long periods of times during masses, for example, for hours, those halberds weigh about 15 pounds. So that is really something to hold. They do, in response to your comment about guns, they do have pepper spray on their persons, so that they can react quickly with that. But they are never stationed more than 5 feet away from an arsenal where they can have heavier ammunition if they need to. And they are their goal, their job is to protect the life of the Pope. And so especially after the assassination attempt on Pope John Paul II in 1981, there has been an even stronger emphasis on the training of the Swiss Guards. They go through very serious one-on-one combat training. They do weaponry training. But in order to become a Swiss Guard, they have to have already gone through Swiss our military service in, you know, in Switzerland. So they have gone through intensive Swiss military training as well. So what it comes down to is you don't want to mess with those guys, John.
Yeah, and you get to see them all the time there at the Vatican.
Yeah.
Real quickly, what is the latest with the so-called receipt gate, the story of Italy's fiscal police?
Yes. You know, John, it's interesting because here in Italy, we have a police force called the Guardia di Finanza. So imagine if, like, the IRS had its own police force. So one of the rules you may have noticed when you're in Italy is that when you purchase something, say at a cafe, even a coffee, you are given a receipt and you are urged to take your receipt away with you. Well, that's because there was a law on the books for a long time. It was only changed in 2003 that it was obligatory for every customer to take away their receipt, and they could be stopped at any point on the street by police asking them to show their receipt. And if they didn't have it, or if the receipt showed that they had not paid the appropriate amount of tax, they could be fined. So indeed, while one still could be stopped at any point for a receipt, technically, the law has been changed so that a purchaser can no longer be fined. But businesses are still obliged to give receipts. Well, turns out that there was a particular cafe here that was cited, and the spotlight turned on them for not giving out receipts. So they had to go to the tribunal of the Guardia di Finanza. They had to go through this big court case, and indeed, they had to close their bar. And the reason cited was that this, because the government could not track their if they were paying correct taxes. In the meantime, as all this is happening, the bar owners, while at the tribunal, they go to the cafe of the tribunal, and they buy their coffee and they buy their little snack and they come through and they're not given a receipt. And investigative reporters then go to the government tribunal and they find that people are not being given receipts. So you can imagine what happens next. The tables are turned. The spotlight is now on the government tribunal and everybody here is talking about receipt gate, John.
Wow, what a story. I got to figure, what about digital receipts in light of the pandemic?
We're not quite that advanced yet, you know, maybe one day.
All right. And then, of course, today is the feast of the Apostles, Saints Philip and James. How is that being celebrated there in Roma and Italy?
Well, in fact, my husband John and I will go and attend Mass at the Church of Santi Apostoli, the Holy Apostles, this evening, because that is where, indeed, those great saints, Philip and James, are entombed. There's also a beautiful painting above the main altar that depicts the martyrdom of Saints Philip and James the Less there. And so we'll have the opportunity to venerate those relics, and we'll be praying especially for the intentions of all of our Relevant Radio family. And then down in the very most south part of Puglia, Italy, Puglia is the heel of the boot, the town of Diso has a very fantastic celebration of Saints Philip and James, that is San Filippo and San Giacomo. It's because their cathedral is actually dedicated to those great saints. And so sure enough, they will have a grand procession with these larger-than-life, beautiful wooden statues carried through the streets, followed by a statue of Our Lady herself. And then after that, it's followed by an absolutely mind-blowing display of lights. So imagine that the town puts up all of these big structures over the streets, and these structures are just laced with lights within a kaleidoscope of colors and shapes and designs. There's also a big fireworks competition, concerts, and you can imagine lots of food. So quite a wonderful celebration. Again, we're seeing Italy in the beautiful way that Italy celebrates the richness of her faith. So with that, I say happy feast of Saints Philip and James.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.